Hello and welcome to the Brentas Foundation podcast, where we throw light on some of the African continent's biggest and most pressing issues and leverage best practice, not just on what to do, but how to do it. I'm your host, Marino Ongoklo, and it's a pleasure to share in this moment with you. If you're new here, welcome. It's nice to have you here. If you're a regular, hey, how's it going? So this is the podcast where I share a lot of the super interesting conversations I have with really cool people. I'm a firm believer in sharing ideas that shape and challenge the world as we know it. My hope is that these conversations, where you get to be a fly on the wall, start further and deeper conversations wherever you are and lead to the exploring of actions and ideas that actually work and make a difference. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Again, I'm Marie Noel and you're listening to the Brentas Foundation podcast. Zito, thank you so much for joining me today on the Brentas Foundation podcast. We have with us Zito Kabwe, who is a Tanzanian politician who serves as the leader of the opposition party, ACT Wazalendo. He's often credited for inspiring young Tanzanians to join politics, and I think that's such an interesting point. So I'm going to start from there, Zito. Why is that particularly important to you?
It is important because as you know, most of our countries are young nations.
Yes.
Our median age is 17. Actually, today we are celebrating the death of our founding president Nyerere, who died in 1999. And as we are speaking, 68% of Tanzanians were born after 1999. 68% of the population is...
Goodness.
Yeah, so you can imagine how young our nations are. So inspiring young people to get into politics is, I think, is very, very important. And it makes us think more for the future than the past, which is the theme of your podcast today.
So in the spirit of the day, actually, and it worked out so well. This wasn't planned. But Zito, what would you say to you, right? What does it mean to be Tanzanian? And does that sort of dictate certain values or value systems that guide the way you operate?
In 1962, our founding president Nyerere had a speech to the public, and in it he spoke about the ethic of the nation, creating values in which, whether they are written in the constitution or not, when leaders go against those values, people can say, no, this is not Tanzanian. Whether that person is a president or president squared, using his own words. And he was the president then. But definitely, I don't feel like we developed those values. Of course, there are some, like justice, like unity, solidarity, pan-Africanism, standing for the right cause. These, I think, I share, and I can say they can define a Tanzanian. But over the last few years, we have seen a little bit more valueless society, where leaders can make decisions which are completely not Tanzanian. So now it's very difficult to pin down and say these are Tanzanian values. And I think, and I met former Prime Minister of Malaysia in 2010. I used to have annual meetings with him. So in the meeting of 2010, I asked him, what did you do right and what you did wrong in Africa? And he said, you younger generation of leaders, you need to create a value system, because maybe this is the reason why Africa is not going forward. What are wrongs and what are rights? What can a leader do to push forward the development of his people and his nation? And what if a leader does wrongly, people can be able to stand up and say no. And I think this is the biggest problem we're having in Africa for all the years, where we're not able to pin down our leaders, or even leaders are not able to pin down themselves amongst themselves to say this is wrong and this is right. Yeah.
No, I think that's a very interesting point, Bazito. I wonder, because a lot of the times when, I guess, well, quite a number of African countries, when they came out of independence, right, we had, you know, these sort of different, I guess, beliefs that seemed to guide a lot of what they did. But even at the, maybe at the unit level, right, a lot of African households grow up with these values and these systems. So they are there. So is it that they're getting lost in translation at the leadership level? Is it that even at the unit level, people are not making a concerted effort in terms of, you know, family relations and stuff? Like, what, where are we missing this? What are we missing this? Because I do think that the values and value systems still do exist, but maybe it's just not translating the right way. I'm curious to hear what you're thinking about that.
Yeah, I think it's not just about being translated in the right way. I think as it goes bigger beyond our family units or beyond our clans, and sometimes even beyond our tribes, it becomes meaningless. So the ability of making these values into national ethos, into national values, I think is the problem that we had. Tanzania tried with the Arusha Declaration. It tried to create its own value system, but it didn't exist because maybe it was based on very strong fundamentals and maybe very wrong policy orientation, because it just took the whole country into the left rather than maybe being realistic and to put making sure that the country the people are put at the center and development of the country is being pushed forward. So I think it's not lost in translation. I think it's carrying forward beyond our families, our clans, our tribes, into the nation, yeah.
I see. Okay. So one of the things I wanted to discuss with you, right, is when we're thinking of history, right, and it's very much in line with what we're talking about like where we're from. Today in 2022, when we're thinking about the choices that our leaders have to make or are making, what role, is there a role of history in terms of dictating or defining the choices that are being made today? Or do you think it's really a completely sort of different world, different sets of parameters, and so the thinking has to be completely different and separate from things of the past?
I think there are, for me, history is important because without knowing your past, it is very difficult to chart a way forward.
Mm-hmm.
So history tells us where we come from, what mistakes we did, and how to correct them. But history should not, we should not be slaves of history. Do I make it clear?
Yes, prisoners of our past, yeah.
Yes, so we have to use history to move forward, rather than using history to hold us back.
What could that look like today? I imagine there are sort of so many different ways to think about it, but if we're talking of like a practical example, is there one way that you think, you know, we could be thinking about how history should inform some of the choices that are being made or need to be made in this moment?
I think we have to go back to our struggle for independence and go to the purpose of why we were struggling for independence, which was about self-determination, ruling, governing ourselves, making decisions for ourselves. And I think that should be used to question ourselves whether are we still into that purpose? Is looking 60 years back, did we fight independence to be what we are today? Or we went astray from the purpose of building these nations. And I think that should be enough to reflect and make us think of way forward.
Well, that's helpful. And are there some things in history that you might say we need to let go of? Are there certain sort of ways of thinking or certain things that happen that you think are inhibiting our progress as a continent?
I think one thing that we have to let go is always referring to our past as a hindrance for our development. It can't be all the time the reasons for being poor, the reason to be underdeveloped is being colonized. But the colonialists left 60 years ago. We have to say now that no more justifications, no more references, colonialism as a reason. We understand that colonialism had a big impact. Slavery had a big impact to our societies, but 60 years more, there are other societies which were faced the same kind, even worse kind of situation as they had, and they moved on. So I think that's one of the things that we have to shadow.
No, I think that's very interesting. And I think there are some people who have so many arguments in terms of the nuances around that and the structures and whatnot that were built that sort of hold some countries in bondage. But I think there is some truth in trying to liberate ourselves from that. The nuances of that, I think I'll leave for another conversation. But another question I have for you before you head off, and I know you have to go pretty soon, is that does ideology still have a role to play in economic policy today?
I think, to be frank, increasingly I believe that ideology should just be used as a guidance and not as a tool for policy development. So if you see even from experience of other countries, they got rid of the isms, socialism, capitalism, whatever ism, and focused on what delivers. And the famous is even China. Deng Xiaoping had this famous famous example of a cat, whether black or white, you get the cat which can catch the rat, right? So I think increasingly ideology is losing its purpose. But for me, ideology should just remain as a guidance on some fundamentals, but the policy development should be based on evidence so that problem can be solved. Ideology doesn't solve a problem, but if you put your policy based on evidence, problems can be solved.
No, I think that's a very interesting point and important point as well, right? So it's the idea that it should guide the decisions that we make, but not necessarily dictate it. And I think one thing that I'm reminded of in this moment is this sort of phrasing about even the experiences of Asian countries, right? It's like we need to deal with the facts on the ground and the reality of things rather than what we imagine or pretend that they are. And I think that plays some bit of a role in here in terms of how we understand, well, what's currently going on, what can we change, what do we need to do? So thank you for sharing about that. And the last question I have for you is, we often hear about, and you mentioned at the start actually, right, this idea of unity, especially now as we're sort of trying to or pursuing the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, and there's some, you know, pockets of our Pan-Africanism coming up. This idea of Ubuntu, unity, what does that mean in 2022? Is that something, is that feasible, a goal to aspire to? Is that something we can even achieve at all?
I think unity is key. Whether we can achieve or not should not be a question. This question should be, what we have to do is to work towards that. And
What does that entail? What does that look like? I guess is the question.
For example, it's impossible today to make up the whole African continent as one. But it is possible for African countries and African nations to trade as one. So efforts towards unity are more important in practical terms. For example, in trading, in economic cooperation, in defense, and things like that. But I cannot say that it is possible today to achieve unity that Kwame Nkrumah and the likes wanted, but it is possible to work towards. And to be frank, we delayed a lot of these efforts because of thinking that we have to be united now. But had we thought of trade agreements since 1960s, it would have been possible today. Maybe we would have achieved the unity we wanted to achieve. But because we just thought of continental and then nothing worked up to the moment.
Yeah. Zito, thank you. Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate you doing this with me, and especially on Nyerere Day. All the best with your travels to Pemba. Enjoy it for me, all that green, beautiful land over there.
That brings us to the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did putting it together. I love learning new things. Hey, if you enjoyed this chat, you definitely enjoy others that came before it. Check out previous episodes on whichever platform you're tuned into now, or visit our website www.thebrentesfoundation.org for other episodes. As always, thank you so much for listening. And if I could make one last ask of you, please do share this with others. Again, you're listening to Marie Noel on the Brentes Foundation podcast, and it's been a pleasure sharing this time with you. Until next week, stay well.